Welcome to the Education Gadfly Show. This is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my co-host, a man who only once desecrated the flag, Rick Hess.
Wasn't my fault, baby. I was drunk and a little high.
Okay, well, that explains a lot of things that you've done in your lifetime, right?
Well, you know, what can you do?
Good. Rick, sadly, the U.S. is out of the World Cup.
Yeah, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know. I guess not. But what do you think? Out of the remaining World Cup contenders, where would you most like to live and why?
I don't know. Ukraine's looking pretty fresh, huh?
You would like to live in Ukraine?
It looks kind of lively.
Really? Do you like to wear orange?
Sure.
Well, so tell me, though, what you think about Brazilian hygiene.
Now, Mike, when you're going to Brazilian hygiene, exactly where are you going? Is this dental floss that Megan got at the super?
You tell me, Rick.
I'm a big fan of Brazilian hygiene, but you, my clean-cut partner, I'm not even sure you know where you're going with that.
All right. Well, shoot us a line at letters@edexcellence.net and let us know what you think about Brazilian hygiene or the World Cup or maybe even education reform. But let's get going, shall we, Rick? Let's start with a game of Pardon the Gadfly. Then we have a great interview this week with Sarah Mead from Education Sector about boys and, frankly, her sexist views about them. Mm. And then finally, our weird correspondent, Liam, will serve up a dose of education news of the weird.
Liking it.
Very nice. So let's play Pardon the Gadfly, where we debate three topics for 90 seconds each. Ready? Topic number one.
Let's get after it,
baby. All right. The New York legislature recently said no way to upping the state's charter school cap from 100 to 150 schools. Very sad news. Some say healthy debate was scuttled when the charter school advocacy group played radio and television ads attacking anti-charter lawmakers. Plus, some of the pro-charter school groups put out some press releases that might have played a little fast and loose with the numbers. Rick, any truth to these claims, and what are we to make of this situation?
Well, let's put aside the advertising campaign for a moment. I want to talk a bit about the substance of the claims that were made by charter folks. Charter community for years has been concerned about people cheap-shotting charter schools by using lousy data. They say you can't just compare test scores in regular traditional public schools to charter schools because they're not the same student populations. That what really matters is how much students are learning during the course of the year. There was a famous New York Times ad taken out and signed by a bunch of scholars on this issue in 2004. Well, now the New York data came out in the midst of this debate. It was useful if you did the end-of-year comparisons, and guess what? All of a sudden, a bunch of charter folks are looking like unprincipled hacks, using this data in whatever way is most convenient, and making all these complaints about principal and about misuse of data look hollow and, you know, pretty sorry. I think this is just going to bite the charter school movement in the foot the next time they want to complain about unfair treatment.
Okay, now that's all fair, Rick, but it also sounds a little bit like you're coming from the ivory tower here. I mean, these advocacy groups are advocates. They're trying to make sure that there are more charter schools because we think that's good for kids. Let's talk about the advertisements, for example. These were very hard-hitting ads that showed, you know, cute little African-American kids learning in their charter school, and then a cute little child would come on and say, you know, Mr. Assemblyman, please don't cap my future. And then, there'd be on the screen, call 555-6161 to tell your representative not to cap their future. Now, hardball, yes. But look, you know, the other side is willing to play hardball,
no, that's
so we got to play hardball, too.
Absolutely no. And in fact, that stuff's fine. But then just don't make these, don't complain about how data is used. If you're going to use it any which way, then don't claim to be standing on
okay.
data.
Very good. You know what I want to complain about, Rick, is topic number two, which you're going to actually tell me about.
Okay, baby. And we've got a Jen with a hyperactive buzzer today to boot. The mayor of L.A.
Rick, I do have to make a point on that. Jen is trying to quit smoking, so that might explain the hyperactive buzzer.
And the six patches.
Yes.
Okay. Mike, the mayor of L.A. has announced his plan to take over the L.A. Unified School District. But to get union support, the mayor had to make some dubious compromises. We know L.A. schools are awful, but is the proposal a step forward or a step back, Mike?
Oh, Rick, it's so disappointing. You know, the mayor was right to try to get mayoral control. It was always going to be difficult because there's so many different cities within Los Angeles, so one mayor is in control of all of them. But what he had to do in order to get the union support, and therefore in order to get his bill passed in Sacramento to create this mayoral control, is he had to give the union more power. The deal is local teachers at the school level will get to control what happens in the classroom in terms of the curriculum they use. Plus, at the central level, it won't actually be mayoral control. The superintendent will report to a council of mayors, plus report in some ways to the school board, which will have less power than they used to before, but still keep many of their powers. Now, are you confused?
I'm confused as hell.
I mean, I sure am. The first confusing thing is to say, why was he negotiating with the unions? I mean, the whole point, in my view, of mayoral control in education is to diminish the power of the unions, which right now have Politburo-style control over local school boards.
Because mayors are notably insensitive to union influence.
Well, very nice. That's true. But look, I mean, Daley from Chicago was able to basically whip his unions into shape. It looks like in California, unfortunately, this mayor has just folded. I keep saying this mayor because, frankly, I can't pronounce his name. Rick, can you pronounce his name?
Villagrosa? No, man, it kills me. Once mayors get over two or three syllables, I always opt for a nickname. Let's call him the Big V.
The Big V.
Simple.
I'm not sure if time was up, but I think Jen was just tired of that discussion.
Okay.
Oh, no, time was up. All right. Our final topic, Rick, graduation rates. It is still graduation time out there around the country. Education Week recently released a report called Diplomas Count, which falls close to many of the other assessments when it comes to how many students actually graduate with a high school diploma. But there's still lots of variation, you know, up and down the scale. But we keep seeing this. Every week, it seems like there's a new report about graduation rates. I mean, Rick, are we ever going to get solid numbers on this, and why should we care?
I think, you know, what Ed Week's done here is probably, you know, a real service. It's valuable. Chris Swanson headed up an effort which gave us really solid numbers, which figures about 70% of kids are actually graduating. But frankly, Mike, on a slow summer afternoon, I could think of about 103 trillion things I'd rather do than curl up with a fat wad of statistics on graduation rates. And ultimately, I mean, you know, statisticians have got to argue about something, but I don't really see what the fuss is. If one kid out of five is not finishing high school, which is an 80% graduation rate, or two kids out of five aren't finishing high school, which is a 60% graduation rate, what? We don't need to worry about fixing these things. We don't need to worry about graduation standards. I guess I don't see how much it really matters in the end.
Right. Well, that's fair enough, I guess. But maybe there would be a big difference. I mean, if you have most of the kids graduating in this country, you could, for example, say, look, then we need to focus primarily on efforts to make the high school curriculum more rigorous. We're getting people through high school. They're just not learning anything while they're there. On the other hand, if you got lots of people, half the kids dropping out, maybe our efforts should be focused on figuring out what to do about those kids that aren't even showing up for graduation.
Except this all seems to push us in the same direction, right? If a lot of kids are dropping out, we make high school more fun and easier. Yeah, we can keep kids in. It's like flypaper. And if the kids are staying in, it's probably because we're watering things down enough that everybody can get through, in which case we got to toughen it up. So anything we do, we're just pushing ourselves in the same darn direction.
Rick, what do you think was the best high school movie ever?
Oh, man. I was a big fan of Teachers, actually, with Nolte and Ralph Macchio.
I thought you would say Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Loved Fast Times. But the best 24-hour high school movie has to be Dazed and Confused.
Very nice. Okay. That is probably true. Well, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Would that count?
That would be up there. Me, I would go D&C.
Okay. Good. All right. Get some more pats, Jen. All right. Now it's time for our interview. This time with Sarah Mead, who is Senior Policy Analyst at Education Sector. She just released a new report called The Truth About Boys and Girls. Let's take a listen. Sarah Mead, welcome to the Gadfly Show.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
So, Sarah, you got a lot of attention and press this week for a new report you've got out called The Truth About Boys and Girls. Front page of the Washington Post, CBS Evening News, and now the Education Gadfly Show. That is the trifecta.
I know. I'm just overwhelmed.
All right, but we do have some questions for you. So this report talks about how this whole crisis about boys has really been overblown. And that, in fact, when you look at the data, boys are, you know, more or less doing okay. Now, we've got to ask you, Sarah, as a woman who's never been a boy, as far as I know, who's never walked in the shoes of a boy, known the hardships of a boy, do you really think it's your place to say that the boys of America are just doing fine? Thank you very much. Sarah, I mean, speak up for yourself here. I mean, what? I mean, isn't this the same as saying, well, you know, I don't think we should take very much attention to that achievement gap that we've got. You know, those Black African American kids are just doing fine. Thank you very much.
That's an interesting perspective, Mike.
All right. Well, Sarah, tell us about your report then.
Sure. Actually, one of the things that we did this for was because I was sort of sick of, you know, hearing these articles where it's like, you know, my nephew is having trouble in school, and so therefore there's a boy crisis. There's a lot of anecdote out there, so we wanted to actually look at the evidence that was on the table, and so that's basically what we did.
And what did you find?
We found that on a lot of indicators, boys are actually getting better. There's a few indicators where boys are getting worse, and we should be concerned about them, particularly Black and Hispanic boys. But for the most part, boys are getting better on a lot of indicators. Girls are just getting better faster on some, but not all of them.
Now, Sarah, let me ask you this. You're generally regarded as a tasty woman, but is this, you know, you don't have a boyfriend. Is this just your way of getting back at the men of America?
No, I actually see this as a favor to men. You know, all the guys that I've talked to about this issue have said, you know, if there were twice as many women as men when they were in college, they would have enjoyed their college experience much more.
But now you're trying to actually hurt this, right? You're trying to or you're actually saying it's okay to have
twice
as many women.
Yeah, I'm trying to do a favor to America's young college men and even some professors like yourself once, Rick.
Is this payback for favors these men once did for you?
You know, I really can't talk about that,
I'm
Rick.
Feeling you. It's the old Ed Sector cone of silence.
Now, sir, some people have called Washington, D.C. a man desert. What do you think about that?
I really haven't experienced anything desert-like in the past few weeks with all the rain we've had here.
Very good answer. Oh, very good answer.
So. Now, Mike, do you want to take this out? Because I have a related question. You know, now that Sarah has proved her mettle on mass media, you know, The View has been in the midst of internal turmoil the last couple of weeks. First, they lost that Meredith chick to replace Katie Couric, and now they just punted Star Jones. And so now that you've got this training, and now that they're looking for somebody who's kind of, you know, a man-hater, hostile type, have they been in touch with you about maybe taking that fourth seat?
No, I think I look a little too much like Debbie Matenopoulos, and that's a bad thing for them.
Who is she?
She was that really ditzy chick they had at the beginning who was just terrible.
Who'd she get punted for?
Some other young ditzy chick.
Is that the Hasselbeck?
Yeah, but there was another girl in between.
Huh.
And Rick, what does this have to do with boys and the blown-up crisis about them?
I'm not really sure, but it seemed important at the time.
Okay, well, unfortunately, that is all the time we've got for our interview today. Sarah, thank you for coming on the show, and I hope you'll come back.
Thanks, Mike.
So, Rick, let's be honest. We didn't actually hear much about her report, did we?
Nah, but, you know, that stuff's available on the web, and if anybody really wants to sit out the report, which is filled with tables built out of NAEP data, there's plenty of time in the hammock to do that on a long summer afternoon.
That's right.
That's not why people listen to this show.
You know, here's what I got to wonder, though. If we keep having a situation where so many women graduate from college and so few men do, right? Within the college graduate population, isn't this going to, you know, really create pressure for polygamy?
It might, but mostly it's going to make me jealous of the guys in the cohort behind us who are going to get to kind of chill out at home, play Xbox, and be married to high-powered women who are running big corporations.
Very nice.
That would be a sweet thing.
Very nice. Okay, well, it is time for everybody's favorite. You know it. Education News of the Weird with our special correspondent, Liam Julian, who is looking particularly weird today. Liam, why are you wearing a wall clock around your neck?
I'm getting in the mood to practice my vocabulary, Mike. Or should I say, my flowcabulary. It's hip-hop for logophiles. The first flowcabulary CD was released in April to help kids study for the SAT. It takes tough SAT vocabulary words and sets them to hip-hop. Check it.
Would you like a backbeat, Liam?
Please. I travel on foot, so I peregrinate. My love of nature's natural, so it's innate. I have a penchant for rustic walks up and down the coast. When I can't take a walk, I get gloomy and morose. Yeah. So I was thinking, why shouldn't the Education Gadfly Show capitalize on this new market for elevated hip-hop? Picture it. Pardon the Gadfly hip-hop battle. You both get a topic, say, charter school finance, and then engage in an intellectual debate by rapping with obscure words. Check it. Accountability and choice, together they're best. I collect matchbooks, call me a voluminist. Yeah. Rick, have you ever engaged in warfare armed with only dope rhymes, fat beats, and ACT standard deviations?
This is actually really awesome stuff, man. I want to get a hold of these CDs. I got to say, though, I am so suburban. I have no clue what we're talking about.
All right. Well, Rick, at least your silver chain makes you look like you might fit in this rap world. But that is all the time that we have for this week. Thank you, Liam, for those sick raps that you laid down for us. And keep in mind, everyone, we are taking the 4th of July off, so it'll be a couple more weeks till we're back. But until then, don't forget to read the original Education Gadfly at edexcellence.net. Till a couple weeks from now,
I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.